One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, the essence of Christianity.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So we're dealing with convictions here. As a Christian, you must have convictions. You must work on your convictions. You must be fully inundated with all the convictions given to us from the Holy Writ. You have to be fully driven by convictions from the Word of God. You have to. These are compelling thoughts. Hallelujah. Just for that, may I read to you from St. Luke's Gospel very quickly? St. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1. You know, when God calls a man or a woman, He begins a work in that person's life. A lot of times it takes years to develop. He drives these convictions into your spirit until in every way, that's the only way you can think. This is bigger than brainwashing. You see, he's not just brainwashing. He's doing more than brainwashing. And that's exactly what the word tells us in Romans, the 12th chapter, when it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, from verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And in the second verse says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, the convictions have come in now by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So then is that working in the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God in your life. Praise the Lord. Okay, now in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, it tells us something beautiful here. I'm reading from verse 1. Let's see how that Luke had these convictions, as well as the other apostles. From verse 1 says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Did you see that? Did you see that term? Most surely believed. These are convictions. A declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. That's why a man can stand in the face of persecution and insist on what he has chosen and not change. In the presence of threatening death and not change. The convictions have become strong. They're strong. You have to have convictions. Do you have convictions? What are your convictions about Jesus? What are your convictions about the living Christ? Many years ago, as I probed my mind on the convictions in my spirit, I asked a lot of questions. I asked myself, what do you really believe? Then I observed some things and I said, if you did believe, you wouldn't do these things. If you did believe, you would be this way or that way. And went on working on those things and studying the Bible until I was sure that I had those convictions, that they were strong, not just some form of beliefs traveling in my mind, you know, just like that. No, but being sure that these things were real. He says, for as much as many have set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. You underline most surely believed among us. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were our witnesses and ministers of the word. Now watch this. He says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou, boy, look at this. This is beautiful. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. See, he had these things most surely believed among us. Now he's writing them down for Theophilus, and he says that you may know the certainty. They are trustworthy. That's what he's saying. That you may know the certainty. That's what I talked to you about. These things are most surely believed among us. And that you may know the certainty of these truths. All right. Hello? Are you still here? Okay. So, would you turn now to Colossians? That was just the introduction, so you can understand where we're going. So, Colossians in chapter number 1. Oh, do I like this? This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Let me give you the background. Why is Paul writing this? Why did he have to write this letter to the Colossian brethren? In that land, in that city, the Gnostics had gained a lot of influence. They said Jesus Christ was not a real person with a real body. They actually said his death was spiritual. His resurrection was spiritual. So don't try to follow that man from Nazareth. He was just a symbol. The Gnostics. That's what they said. They began to build a new way of serving God. They came up with a new kind of knowledge. And these were schooled people. Intelligent. But they confused the people. And they came up with esoteric language, saying that we are the only ones who can understand these things. And all the others were, The people didn't know what was the truth anymore, and they began to follow them. Where did they come from? They came from the church. People who were not in the church with clean minds, they came from the church. They arose from the church. Whenever I talk like this, when I have to talk like this, I try to be very careful, because sometimes people knock the church. You understand? They knock the church. They make it look like the church got too many problems. Evils coming from the church, and so like the devil's headquarters is in the church, and that's all a bunch of bozos. That's not true. You understand? The devil doesn't sit in the church. He's not in the choir like people think. Do you understand? No. So, get it. It's not like the church is so dirty, it's got too many problems and so on and so forth. No. But you see, many times when the devil wants to do something that he doesn't want you to notice, he has to come as closely as he can get. He has to find someone from within that will speak the same language. He has to find someone. You see, an outsider cannot split a church. It takes an insider to split a church, you understand? You cannot trouble the church from outside. It's absolutely impossible. You have to come from within to cause problem in the church, and the devil knows that. So he can only work from within. Are you catching it now? Yeah. So, the man who actually started this was from the church. But as you study, you discover he had an unclean origin. His desire for the things and the power of God was wrong. It is believed that the father of Gnosticism is the very man in the book of Acts who was there that day in Samaria when Peter and John came to lay hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost, and Simon was there, and he was a sorcerer. Do you remember now? He bewitched the people, and when he gave his heart to Christ, listen, he did give his heart to Christ like everybody else, but he had been a famous man, understand it. He had been known by everybody in town. He was feared, he was revered by the people in town. So now he gave his heart to Christ, and you know, when you come to Christ, everybody is the same. All right, when you come to church, you can be a prof, but you sit down with a cleaner right beside you, and we're all shouting hallelujah together. But we are sons of God. And right in church, that cleaner may be a deacon, and the prof may be cleaning the benches in church. Come on now, are you still there? Because this is the house of God, you see. So, this man had given his heart to Christ. But then, he remembered something. I was known to be a powerful man. What am I going to do now? So while he was there, Peter and John were laying hands on people, and they went flat on their backs under the power, and then he came to Peter.
We trust that you were blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'm now a child of God. Hallelujah. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call +234 812 851 9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. Wow! This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Lekki Love World Arena, Lekki Road, beside Enyo Fuel Station, Shisko Bus Stop, Lekki Ekpe Expressway. Worship with us on Sundays, first service at 7:15 and second service at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. If you would like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234 812 851 9834 or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveworld360.com. Tune into this station same time tomorrow for the continuation of the message.